Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, July 15th of 2019. The 15th of July, folks. Where did summer go? Where did it go? It's close to being halfway over. I'm serious, because Labor Day is like 7 weeks away from today. But we're so glad you could join us today, wherever you may be listening to this show from, and whatever device you may be using. Doesn't matter whether you're at home, whether you're driving home from work, maybe you're driving to work, maybe you're up at your cabin or hotel room on vacation, because after all, it is summer. Maybe you took a couple days. Right now, but regardless of where you are, what you're doing, I'm so glad that you chose to join, listen to this program tonight. And it means a lot that you would join in. My prayer tonight is that all of you who are listening to this show receive what you are believing for from God tonight. Whatever it is. Because everybody has different needs. Every human is different. So therefore, every need is different. And I just thank you that God meets every need tonight in Jesus' name. No, I got a ton of stuff to get to tonight, so just bear with me. First of all, a bulletin. Invasion of this week, that youth and adults conference that I talked to you about both of the last two episodes. That being said, tomorrow night, I'll be doing my show a bit earlier because at the time I would normally be doing it, I will be at the conference. And then Wednesday night, I don't think I'll be doing a show. So, just keep that in mind. Speaking of invasion, I covet your prayers about it. Everything's good. Just because I'm asking you to pray for something doesn't mean it's bad. So don't get any ideas in your head like that. I want you to pray that, just pray for Josh Barkley. Pray for the young people who are going to be there receiving from God this week. Pray that they leave that conference changed. Pray that miracles and signs and wonders take place there. But these young people get totally immersed in the anointing of God. And that any obstacle that tries to stand in the way, anything that tries to keep anything in this conference from happening, any force that tries to stand in the way will be completely broken and completely dismantled in the name of Jesus. So just pray that lives are changed. Pray that you use that God uses Josh Barkley and all those other speakers. Please. Keep it in your prayer. And so for those of you who don't know, it is taking place at Living Word out at my church. And I want to encourage you listeners, just come to a night of invasion, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Just come to at least one night and watch stuff happen. Watch as all those young people rush the altars of God. As they are hungry for God. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see. It really is. To see 700 to 800 young people, youth and young adults, up there at that altar, praising, worshiping the Lord like that. And it's going to be loud, but it's going to be powerful. They turn up that music. Yes, there's going to be some smoke in there, but well, got it. And of course, we got the spoon outside. I've been told some of the stuff out there is better than the fair food. And it's a lot cheaper. You can't explain what I'm going to say to you really quick before I move on to something else is you can't explain experience. You cannot explain invasion. You have to experience it. Just come a night. If you want. Just come a night. I'll be there all four nights. You know? It's changed so many lives. Also, can I do something? I want to see the amazement park on Friday. I don't know, Brooke, if you saw some of the commercials from back maybe like the mid-1990s, and back in those days, they used to sometimes in commercials refer to Cedar Point as the amazement park, not an amusement park. Did you ever see some of those commercials where they did that?
I don't think so. That's pretty neat, though.
Yeah, and I think they did that. Apparently, they were doing it in the late 80s, too, right when Magnum came out in 89.
Oh, really?
But I think they did that about 20 to 30 years too soon. Because amusement park-wise, at least, I think it just might be the best place on earth. So for some of you may be wondering, you know, how did it go? Well, I went on everything that currently holds a record. Except for one that holds a record, but it's lame. Don't you think Gatekeeper is kind of lame? Do you think Gatekeeper is kind of lame?
Never seen it.
Gatekeeper is that roller coaster that's like right in right in the front, right at the front gate. That's the name Gatekeeper.
I don't remember that one. I'm sure if I saw a picture.
It's a wing type coaster. You know, it's kind of big. It's supposed to be the world's longest wing coaster.
Oh, wow.
But I rode it like 2 or 3 times. Neither time was I particularly impressed. If you want to make a front gate statement that you're the roller coaster capital of the world, you need to find something bigger to put up at that gate.
Yeah.
Something that immediately catches your eye. Because apparently the Gatekeeper is not doing it.
Okay.
And, I wonder if maybe they should put it near, like, the resort gate. Because there's a gate that goes, like, to the resorts, you know. Maybe they should put it there and put in something nice and big at the actual front gate.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, maybe put the Raptor there or something like that. Yeah, something that's a bit bigger. Something that's a bit more Because I tell you something, folks. When I go to Cedar Point, I am totally about all that feeling. Yeah, some of the rides feel a little bumpy. Yeah, some of them feel a little, hey, that's the fun of it.
Right.
And Steel Vengeance, tell Steel Vengeance, I know some of you may wonder that. Well, it is tied with all of my other favorite coasters to where there is now an Elite 8 in my mind. Alphabetically. Magnum, Maverick, Millennium Force, Rougarou, possibly. And then Steel Vengeance, Top Thrill Dragster, Wicked Twister. Oh, whoops, I forgot Raptor. And then the 3Ms, Raptor, Rougarou, possibly, and then like I said, Steel Vengeance, Top Thrill Dragster, Valravn, Wicked Twister, and Wicked Twister, I would say going into Friday, I would say of every two times I went to the park, I rode Wicked Twister once. I just made up my mind that that's changing. That from here on out, I'm making as much effort as I can every time I go there to ride it. Besides that, which isn't that hard to do because I didn't even have to wait in line to go on it this past time because the line was like 1 minute. Literally.
That's awesome.
And it was beautiful weather. It was just beautiful. It was just a wonderful time.
Good.
No, listeners, I will not tell you my secret as to how I get on so many rides. Within like 7-8 hours, how'd you get on all 8 of those roller coasters and a couple other ones? I'm not going to tell you because you'll all do it. Okay, maybe if you're nice about it, maybe if you send me an email, maybe if you call in and ask me, then I'll tell you. But other than that, But as for what Steel Vengeance is like, it's a mixture of steel and wood. Steel Vengeance is where Mean Streak used to be. Now Mean Streak wasn't even as good as Shivering Timber back when they had it, was it?
I don't think so.
Now Shiva and Kimber has even been surpassed. Because in a way, didn't you think Steel Vengeance was like a Shivering Timber to a degree?
Yeah. To a degree.
So you feel like this is like the new Shivering Timber if they remade it?
Yeah.
Because Michigan Adventure needs a coaster that makes people, particularly from the east side of the state, actually want to go there.
Yeah, they definitely need this coaster.
Because right now, they have nothing that calls for me to go there, except for the water park. I mean nothing that screams louder as loud as Cedar Point does. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just don't have it. Yeah, you may have short lines, but what good is that if the coasters aren't good?
Right. That's a waste of the money.
And yeah, you can say all you want about Cedar Point being twice the price. Well, I think it's four to five times the fun.
That is true.
Which means, really, if you think about the fun, Cedar Point's cheaper. You know what I mean? Yeah, do it. Money-wise, it's not. But it's more bang for the buck, obviously. But if you're going to Michigan Adventure just to go on the coasters, what a waste of $34.
Uh-huh.
You're better off $10, $20. I was going to do a little bit better than the fair, so I would say like maybe 25, maybe 26. But then that's about it. Because they don't, and even if you stay late at night, they don't do a fun night show like Cedar Point does. They're not actually on a great lake either like Cedar Point is. I think that could help Michigan's Adventure a lot if they were actually on Lake Michigan. Because Muskegon is on Lake Michigan, you know?
Yeah. I agree that it would help them a lot.
Yeah. Because then you could always go to that beach partway through knowing that everybody's there, you know, is at Michigan's Adventure. And until 1986, believe it or not, that park was actually called something else. Deer something. I forget what, but in 2001 was when Cedar Fair purchased it. Now Cedar Fair is the company that runs Cedar Point, Kings Island, Michigan Adventure, and many other parks. They almost have a monopoly of sorts of amusement parks in the Midwest. Except for there is a Six Flags, but everything else is mainly Cedar Fair owned. But as I said, it was an awful lot of fun getting to be there. To me, those coasters never get old. And every time you ride it, I feel like you experience something a little bit different. Doesn't it seem like it?
Uh-huh. Yes, it does.
Do you feel like every seat's a little bit different on so many of them?
Huh?
Do you feel like every seat on some of those coasters, every seat's a little bit different?
You get a different experience sitting in the different seats.
Oh, yeah. It's different from the fair. Because the fair, certain rides are like that, but not all of them.
Yeah, do you go to the fair?
Oh, yeah. I'm just hoping for a lot better rides this year.
Me too. Last year was upsetting. The past few years have been.
Yeah, they really have been. In fact, 2 years ago, I ended up going to West Branch Fair, which was the same week, and their rides were a lot better.
Maybe that's what we should do every year.
Because someday maybe might actually get better. They better. Because our Midway area is a lot bigger than West Branch is and a lot of others that I've heard of. But we're not filling it with great rides. Instead, I mean, we have the Fleek out in Himalaya and the Fireball. But then there's a lot of other good rides they could have that they don't anymore.
I agree. Like the Zipper.
Oh, yeah, the Zipper.
G-Force.
The G-Force. Yeah. The remix. And the Super Shot. And the Zero Gravity. Like, you know, all kinds of great machines like that. Are they better than Cedar Point? No, but they're still awesome.
Yeah.
And listeners, I know I hit the big 3-0 this weekend, but that doesn't scare me from the rides. Not me, it doesn't. Everybody's different. And those of you who are, any of you who, like, even my mom could tell you. But for her, she was basically off the fair rides by the time she was, like, 17. Because some people, they're done with them because something happened or whatever, you know what I mean? Other people, they just love them for a really long time until they just make them so tired or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then other people, they just do it, nothing happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the ride may feel different to them maybe, but that doesn't mean they quit, you know? Because to everyone, it's different. But just that to say, you know. I'd rather have summer anytime than winter. And that gives me another bulletin real quick. And then we're going to pray and get into the Word of God for a little bit. And then talk about sports for the last. This week here in Michigan, we just entered into a period of very high humidity. It's going to be humid up to the end of this week. And then tomorrow and Wednesday, depending on where in Michigan you are, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy with rain chances as a result of Tropical Depression Barry. The remnants thereof, actually. The remnants of Barry will be making their way into Michigan like tomorrow evening into your Wednesday. So you'll have some rain there. But then Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday and possibly Sunday, for at least 3 days. 2 days in particular I want to talk about. Friday and Saturday in Michigan, be on the lookout for highs in the mid-90s, especially from like Midland on south and southwest and southeast. Basically, Midland / Mid-Michigan and similar latitudes to us in West Michigan on south. Expect particularly Friday and Saturday. Now, the timing could change. Expect highs in the mid-90s and heat indices as high as 107 and down in Detroit possibly 110. So heat advisories will be likely. Make sure you're going to be outside those days. Drink plenty of fluids. Particularly fluids that hydrate you, like water. Sports drinks. Do wear light and comfortable clothing. Don't wear anything super dark, because that's going to heat you up really quick. And if you can, by all means, if you want to, get in the water. If you're going to be outside, but you want to cool off, that's one of the best ways to do it. Go get in that water. Because this is Michigan. We got a lot of great lakes here. If you're in town, go to the pool. It is summer. And in the winter, you'll wish it was summer and not so cold. Because when it gets so cold, it's hard to be outside at all. And at least if it's in the 90s and you're in the water at the pool outside, at least you're still outside. Maybe you're suntanning. And after all, even if it's in the 90s, once you sit down and you're drying off, kind of feels good for a few minutes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I can't say the same thing when there's wind chills in the winter. But by all means, so this heat wave, play it safe. Heat's the number one killer in America as far as natural killer from weather. As far as weather events, heat is the number one killer of people in this country. So feel sweaty, for example, if you feel really sweaty, that's a sign maybe you're too hot. If you should drink plenty of fluids even when you're not thirsty. Because in those kind of temperatures, with those kind of humidities, your body has to work a lot harder. You're going to be outside in that heat. So it's summer. I know it. But here in Michigan, it's a little bit different from some other places where this kind of stuff might be more normal. And even then, heat indexes of 108, even a lot of the South, 108 heat indices are not normal. So please, play it safe. I know, I enjoy warm weather myself a lot. But I'm not ashamed to give you the advice. So, now, I want to encourage your listeners, please tell someone that you know how they can be a part of this great show. We have a phone number you can call in to be a part of this great show. Either maybe you want to listen in, maybe you'd like to talk to me, the Miracle Man. Well, basically, whatever you would like to talk about, as long as it's not political. Maybe you got some stuff to tell me about Cedar Point that I might not know. Maybe you have a sports question. Maybe maybe you believe in God or something, and I can pray over you. Just feel free to call in, talk to me. The number to call in is area code 215-383-7000. 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live radio show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to a call screener, and my assistant will let me know that we have a caller. Hopefully we can get some good callers. None. Now, we're going to pray, and we're going to open up the word of the Lord to 2 Corinthians 7. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time tonight together. Thank you for these listeners that have made the great choice to turn into this great radio program. I thank you that they would all receive something for you, from you, that you have for them, Lord God, tonight. And I just thank you that your hand is upon them. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're using me tonight to deliver this message. And Heavenly Father, I make my confession over the show tonight. I thank you that finances come into this radio program. I thank you that partners come into this radio program. Sponsors, I thank you that increases in listenership are coming. And most importantly, I thank you for the great influx of souls coming into this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7. Amen. We love the Bible. And just going to encourage you, whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. I exhort, preach, you listen. And whatever I do, you just follow along. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 7. And it says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Verse 2 now. Make room for us in your hearts. We wrong no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn. Conflict on the outside, but deep within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow, on my letter, I do not regret, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful, as God intended. And so were you. You were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you prove yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong or for the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Pontius was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. You have affection. Is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, rejoicing and in receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad that I can have complete confidence in you. All right. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys about this. So, now, there's two different kinds of sorrow. You know, and I'm not talking about, sorry, I can't help you. The sorry I'm talking about is when you do something wrong. You do something that, and I don't mean wrong in the human's eyes, I mean you do something that is wrong in the eyes of God. And you could feel two different ways. So you say, I'm sorry. Maybe you do something to somebody. What will you, what you say you did something you weren't supposed to? You say, I'm sorry. Here's the deal. Saying, I'm sorry, just the words mean nothing. I'm not saying they don't ever mean anything, but what about your actions? What are you doing when you said, I'm sorry? Are you smirking? Do you mean you're sorry or not? Are you going to say, I'm sorry, and go right back out and do it? Do what you were doing? That made you feel sorry for what you did? Are you sorry because you did wrong? Or are you sorry because you got caught? You know, godly sorrow is what leads to repentance. When you're truly sorry to the point where you choose, you make the choice in your mind. You don't just say it with your mouth. You make the choice in your mind. And you choose, I will not do what I did again. That made me that sin, whatever it was that I was doing, that made me sorry. And when we sin against God, we should be very sorry. We should be like crying almost in repentance to God. And not just this little, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You know, a verse comes to my mind and where it says, the Lord looks upon the heart. And it talks about, in the Bible talks about, you know, these people honor me. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So when you do wrong, you know you did wrong, you decide to apologize. And you say, well, I'm sorry, God. Well, do you mean it? In your heart? Well, you can think in your mind, maybe, I won't do that again. But it's the heart. God looks upon that heart. I read to you in verse 1 where it said, basically said, let's get rid of this contamination and be reverent toward God. What he means is like, get out of sin. Stop doing what you were doing against God and get it right before the Lord. Now, what does this have to do with faith and getting a miracle? Well, the Bible talks about certain sins. And if someone have aught, certain aught, if you have iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. I'll say it again. If you hold iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. What's that mean? Oh, you got that iniquity in your heart towards someone else or towards the Lord? you say, oh, Lord, I want to get it out. I want to get it out. In your mind, you want to get it out. But you're doing nothing to clean it out. You've got to get before God. If you got iniquity in your heart, you got to get it out. Otherwise, God's not going to hear you. He's not going to hear what you're hear you as you tell him what you have need of. So you may be saying, I'm believing for that healing in my body. I'm believing for my kids to get hungry for God. I'm believing for what, and then God, and the, but then God's like, well, you know that iniquity you have? I can't hear you. But when you get your heart right, get that iniquity out, guess what? God begins to hear you. And he looks at that and he says, oh, my son, my daughter. Oh. I'm so glad that you decided to repent. And then that's a great step toward your miracle. Getting rid of all that iniquity and all that bitterness. Bitterness toward other people. Bitterness towards your pastors. Bitterness towards God. You got to get rid of bitterness. Because when you have ought against somebody, God looks at that and says, well, you ask me to do stuff for you to heal your body. You know, to, and maybe you make confessions about I have a sound mind and stuff. But at the same time, you're bitter. And you got all kinds of bitterness. Well, what?
We have 12 minutes left, and you should remind them about you not doing a show on Tuesday.
Okay, I will. But listeners, I'll let you guys know that in a minute. But right now, but listeners, what I'm you know that. This is really important. You've got to get this iniquity and this bitterness out of your heart. It's like pus. You know, you believe in God to do something for you. You should come before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. You really should. It's very important. If you're not right, get right. I'm not talking about getting right with me. You don't have to get right with me. It's not about that. It's getting right with God. Because I'm not God. I'm just a messenger. Doing a radio show. Reaching you. Doing this radio show. That's what I'm doing. No. And it's not just getting that miracle. God won't heal you, period, if you hold that iniquity in your heart. So even just to come and worship God and to study His Word and receive all that you want to receive, all that you can receive from Him, you should come before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. And folks, I'm not just talking about washing your hands. I'm talking about before the Lord. Get out of that. Get rid of that bitterness, rage, anger. I mean, that bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and all forms of malice. Don't bring that to God. Get it out of your heart. My challenge to you is just, where's your heart towards God? Where's your heart? Don't just ask God for things when you don't have a pure heart. Because if you have a dirty enough heart, God won't hear you. So it's really important that we always examine ourselves. When you're in your darkest hour and in need of that miracle right now, that's the best time to examine yourself. Now, Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I thank you that we would just get this word in our heart right now. And that we're going to work at this, and we're going to clean up our hearts toward you. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. I'm going to sing. I sang this song before. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my everything, silencing my everything. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. You're the God. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I'm so glad that we serve a God of miracles. Amen. Now, before I do sports really quick, I should let you know this. As a result of invasion, I'm going to be really busy. Because of invasion, I will not be doing a show tomorrow or Wednesday. I will be back on Monday. I will be a year older. And I'm going to give a joke that pastor said. One time pastor, about a year ago, he was having a birthday. He was about to have a birthday. And on Sunday night, maybe it was Thursday night, he came back and he said, "Now I'll be with you on Thursday night. And I'll be a year older. And you should come out because some of you, I think most of you haven't heard me that year older." That's pretty funny, don't you think? Don't you think, Brooke, don't you think that's pretty funny?
That is pretty funny,
right? listeners, that being said, I'm going to be 30 on Saturday, and I'll be back with you on Monday. And you really should tune in, not only because, I'll be preaching the Word of God, but some of you might not heard me teach at 30 years old. Some of you might have not heard it yet. I don't know. You'll just have to wait and see. But at all rates, come back Monday. And keep invasion in your prayers, please. Please, please, please. And just pray. Just pray so that everyone is safe. That invasion. Play sports, what have you. Speaking of sports, the Tigers got a nice win yesterday over the Kansas City Royals by the score of 12-8. Pretty nice game. They ended their 5-game losing streak. There is still talk that they could trade away Matt Boyd to possibly get a good hitter. Here's the thing. The way I feel about it is this. I think they should have got somebody that was a better hitter at the start of the season. Because maybe then they wouldn't have to think about trading Matt Boyd away. But they need to do something so they can start being a better team. They really do. They really do. Now, Monday night, when I come back, usually it's Testimony Tuesday that I'll tell testimony. I'm going to take Monday night and testify based on whatever happened on invasion. And then I think it's fitting that I take some time Monday night and testify about me. Because I think it's been a little while since I did that on the show. Testified about me and my life. What God has done for me. So until next week, God first, God always. Psalm 91. God first, God always. So long, everybody.